From the best-selling Christian Heroes Then and Now series, YWAM Publishing presents Rachel Saint, A Star in the Jungle by Janet and Jeff Benge. Read for you by Rebecca Gallagher. For information about other titles in this outstanding series, please visit our website at heroesthenandnow.com or call us at 800-922-2143. Chapter 1. A Dangerous Task. "Tadunka's son is dead," Rachel Saint overheard one of the Waorani women say. Rachel had been expecting the bad news, as the child had been sick for several days. Rachel rose wearily from her desk and went to find Tadunka. Toucans squawked in the branches of the ironwood trees above, and monkeys squealed in the distance as Rachel made her way along the trail that led to Tadunka's hut several hundred yards away from the main village clearing. By now, the morning sun had burned away most of the cooling mist that had crept up overnight from the river. What mist remained diffused the scant rays of light that made it to the jungle floor. Soon, Rachel reached a small clearing beside the trail and found Tadunka sitting on a log outside the small thatched hut he called home. He was sharpening a spear made from a chonta palm, honing the barbs to sharp points. Rachel was surprised. She had expected Tadunka to be preparing a burial site for his dead son. "What are you doing, Tadunka?" she asked. Tadunka looked up from sharpening his spear and replied flatly, "My son has died. Why should my worthless daughter live?" A shiver ran down Rachel's spine. She knew that Tadunka was serious. Aukas often killed their daughters when a son died or buried children alive with their dead fathers. Rachel stepped back. Her mind began to whirl. She had to do something. She could not stand by and let an innocent child be speared to death. But what could she do? She was a middle-aged American woman in the dense Amazon jungle, surrounded by a tribe of people with a reputation for being ruthless killers. But before she even realized it, Rachel was moving. She ran toward Tadunka, snatched the spear from his hands, and sprinted off into the jungle. It was a desperate move, and Rachel waited for the sting of a poisonous dart in her back from Tadunka's blowpipe. But it did not come. Instead, Tadunka called after Rachel.
"Nimu, leave me my spear!"
"No, you are not going to kill your daughter with it!" Rachel called back over her shoulder as she kept running. Rachel wandered along tangled jungle tracks for several hours before finally deciding to return to her thatched hut with the spear. When she got there, she found Kimo, one of the other men of the tribe, standing outside. She expected him to be angry with her, or worse, use his own spear against her. Instead, when Kimo saw Rachel, a smile animated his weathered, coffee-brown face.
"Tadunka is very angry with you," Kimo reported. "But I have told him you are my friend. To spear you, he will have to spear me first."
Rachel hardly knew what to say. For the first time ever, she was witnessing one member of the tribe standing up to another over the way things had been done for generations. She could only hope that Kimo's brave stand did not get him killed. Thankfully, Tadunka went ahead with the burial, and no blood was shed. The following morning, Rachel picked up Tadunka's spear and made her way along the trail to his hut. She found him once again sitting on the log outside. Rachel walked gingerly toward him, the spear in her outstretched hands. Would he use that spear to kill her? After all, Rachel had humiliated him when she snatched it away in the first place. He was a Waorani warrior, and she, a foreign woman, had taken his spear. Tadunka nodded grudgingly, took the spear, and walked into his hut. Rachel stood there for a moment. The crisis had passed. Rachel breathed a sigh of relief after the incident. Innocent life had been saved, and she hoped that her actions would serve as an object lesson to the Waorani, that a human life was a sacred thing to be protected, not mindlessly and brutally destroyed. Rachel herself knew from firsthand experience the devastating effects of the Waorani's brutal killing sprees. Now, with God's help, she was determined to stop the killing and show the members of the tribe that there was a better way to live. It was a treacherous task that she had embarked upon, a task that she could never have anticipated as a small girl growing up on the outskirts of Philadelphia.